We're going to continue on in the vein of what God has placed in us and how He sees us.
Yes.
Last Sunday we did a message here called What Do You See? And we're going to continue on from there. Today's message is increase.
Yes.
God sees increase.
Amen.
Yes.
He's placed that in us. Do we expect it?
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Do we expect it? I'm going to give you quite a few scriptures as we go so that you can see for yourself from the Word of God that I'm not making things up, that it actually comes from the Scripture. And so He's the one that's going to give you revelation about your personal situation that you're in right now, what you've been in the past, and what you can face in the future because He sees your future.
Yes.
And He says that you need sunglasses because your future is bright. Amen? Because there is increase in Him, in Christ Jesus, in every area of your life. Even if you don't see that right now. In the natural, you may look at your bank account and they sent you a notice that said you're overdrawn. But God doesn't see it that way. Why is that? Because you have a promise. What are some of the promises that God has given you personally? That have gotten you through situations that looked hopeless at the moment. But you called out to Him and said, I believe what your word says. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. All of these are promises. To link it back to what we talked about last week about seeds, these promises are the Word of God. These promises are actually faith seeds. Did you know that Jesus is actually a seed in the Bible? It says He's a seed of Abraham, right? Do you know whenever God wanted a crop, a family? Do you know that He planted Jesus on this earth? He went into the ground and came up.
Yes.
And after He came up, we had a harvest.
Yes.
In Him.
Amen.
God had a harvest of people, of believers,
yes,
of family. Born again, God inhabited believers. He got a harvest, and it still continues today.
Yes.
That's where we came from, because of Christ Jesus being planted by God. Everything in the Bible, everything, if you look at the parables, He's all the time talking about seed. Mm-hmm. And He also is talking about increase, because harvest means increase. Where there are seeds, there's always going to be increase. Mm-hmm. Yes. Whenever those seeds are planted, they produce a harvest. Yes. And that harvest, whenever seeds from that harvest are planted, it's more than what it was when it was planted.
Yes, that's right.
So, and according to the Word, He says you have not only bread for the eater or fruit for the eater, but seed for sowing. So He's prepared everything for us to increase continually. Now, is that just in plants? Like, we're all farmers, right? No. It has to do with every area of your life. In your family life, in your financial life, in your employment or your work or profession, in that. every single area of your life, including your Christian life, your walk with Him. He has prepared you for increase in every area. Now, I realize that we sometimes go through periods of plateau. Sometimes it seems like nothing seems to be going on. But did you know that those are the times whenever He's working here in your heart? He's changing things inside of you. You don't necessarily see it in your external natural life, but you're being changed inside because He never gives up. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In a nice way, we're stuck with Him once we say, Jesus is my Lord. And I can tell you from personal experience, that's a good thing. Because there's been times that I wanted to give up on me. But God didn't. And He never will.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. Yes.
And that to me is comforting.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
And even though it may be uncomfortable sometimes to be stretched. And believe me, I've been stretched. Those of you who know a little bit about me, I was content to be in Durham and live there the rest of my life. I never really thought about travel. I never really thought about doing anything. And then the Lord touched my heart and He wanted us to go to Colorado to Bible college. Most of my family thought I was nuts, that I'd gone off the deep end. And sometimes I even thought that myself. 50-something years old, what am I doing changing careers again? I've got plenty of different occupations. And I've enjoyed every one of them. But this is the best job I've ever had.
Amen.
I don't know if you can tell it, but I have fun. God's good. But that trip and the couple of years that we spent out at Karis Bible College in Colorado was an adventure. And so God turned somebody that was, according to my wife, a stick in the mud, a homebody that didn't want to go anywhere, do anything else that was different, into a person that craves adventure.
Mm. Wow.
Life is an adventure, if you look at it that way. And it's never boring, it's never dull. Because our Heavenly Father's not dull, and His Son Jesus definitely isn't. He is the adventurer. And so we've taken, I don't know, three trips to South America, a trip over to Greece, and two trips to Kenya and Africa. And in a few months, I'll be going to the Philippines. I've never been to the Asian continents. So the Lord is good. He got me out of my comfort zone.
Yes.
And now everything is an adventure, including right now. This, to me, is an adventure. We have an awesome life that's been given to us in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And He changes our hearts about everything in our lives. Everything. And it's all for the good. And there's no bad side effects. I'm not sure why the Lord's having me say this, but somebody need to hear that in here. Even if you feel like you're caught in a rut, you've been delivered in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Because He has placed things in you that you may or may not even know about right now. My question to you is, have you asked Him to show you? Because He freely shares with everyone. But there is a point to where He knows better than to show you the whole picture. Because if He did me, it would have frightened me so bad I wouldn't have left the house. I never saw myself as a world traveler. I didn't see myself going outside of Durham. So, with Him, there's hope for everyone.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So, increase. God is faithful. And even whenever we're unfaithful, He's still faithful. In the Scripture, He talks about increase in a lot of different ways. Many of you know in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, what does that mean? It's increase in whatever the things that we need and use in this natural world. And He says that it's a byproduct of what? Of seeking Him first. Putting Him first in our lives causes these things to come along as an addition to us, not because we're out seeking those things. That's a thought, huh?
Yeah.
Because, why? My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That's a promise. You know that God's promises are always true, and they always come true for those who plant them, because they're seeds. They're faith seeds. I'm going to continue talking about that through this message. How about some other instances of increase? How about John 10:10? I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. More means increase, right?
Yes.
Abundantly means pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing shall men give into your bosom. So there's increase that God says that in Christ Jesus He's already provided for us, that we can walk in it daily. Increase. And the thing that I found out too, it's just not in need or some type of apparent lack. Because God says that we lack nothing. It's just an appearance. Sometimes circumstances can be a lie.
Yeah.
In the natural world, there's a lot of lies that's being told, but a lot of things that look like their lack are not. It's just things have been hidden from us at the moment. God has provided and will continue to provide.
Yes.
Even if there is an appearance of lack. That's why He says, look not at the things that are seen with the natural eye, but look at those things which are not seen, which are spiritual. That's the truth. What we're seeing sometimes is a mirage. You know what a mirage is? It's something that we appear real to our eyes, our natural eyes, but it doesn't really exist. I call it sometimes false evidence appearing real. That's what fear does to people. It makes them see things that are really horrible that are not really there. How about some other scriptures? Do you remember about the two-piece fish dinner?
Yeah.
That's what Creflo taught me. The two-piece fish dinner. The little boy that brought forth his lunch whenever Jesus asked, you know, let's feed these people. And they said, oh, we ain't got enough money. We don't have that. You know, supermarket's closed, whatever. And he says, what do you have? And the little boy says, I'll give it to you. And he gave what he had to Jesus, and Jesus multiplied it.
Yeah.
Let me correct that. The disciples were the ones who actually had them in their hands, and they were breaking it and multiplying it as they went. They didn't take a piece and go and give it to someone. They actually received from Jesus and then took it, and it multiplied in their hands. They were part of the miracle that happened. So it was multiplied. So in one scripture it talked about feeding the 5,000. Now that was just saying 5,000 men. That wasn't even including women and children. Now, to look at increase, that would have been a good parable, a good account of what happened. But notice they took up what was left over. How many baskets left over? 12? In the feeding of the 5,000. 12 baskets. Can you imagine that little boy trying to carry back to his village 12 baskets full of fish and loaves to feed the whole village? Is God extravagant? Is He an overachiever? To Him, that's just normal. That's everyday Christianity. Overachiever. Okay. How about the 7 loaves and a few fish? Do you remember that one? How many people did they feed?
4,000.
And that was just men, not including women and children. And then how about the loaves that they collected and the fish that they collected afterwards? How many basketfuls? I had to write it down. 7. Leftover, an overabundance of provision, increase. In fact, it was so much increase, they had much more than enough. That's how good He is. And some of us, and I can raise both hands to this, used to have poverty mentality.
Yeah.
Especially whenever we become more susceptible to what we see with our natural eyes and feel and are connected with this natural life of what's going on around us, the circumstances. You know, everything speaks to you. Your wallet, your checking account, whatever, it speaks to you. And if you let it, sometimes it'll say, you're broke. You're broke. You're in debt. There's no way out. You're going to have to declare bankruptcy. Sometimes your refrigerator will talk to you. Whenever you open it up, it says, nothing, nothing, nothing. You're going to starve. And sometimes your family members, they can actually talk to you and tell you some things that they remember about what happened in your past and how it's going to happen again in your future. But you don't have to agree with them. Amen? Because God's Word is truth. And the only truth is whenever we repeat God's Word. How can I say that? Because God's Word has Himself, His authority and His power to back up everything that He has said, He has ever said. And it's all been true. God cannot lie because He's not a man, is what the Word says. And there's a saying, if God said it, you can take it to the bank. Because He speaks only the truth. He's not double-tongued, He's not double-minded. He only speaks truth. And so if He said it, it's recorded forever. The one who's recorded everything is Christ Jesus. He is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is the Word. And He was raised from the dead. And He will never see death again because He saw death once for us and was raised for us. And because He was raised from the dead, it says that we could be made righteous. It was for our righteous sake that He was raised. It was to prove that everything that He said before that, He not only proved it true, but He was the righteous one sitting at the right hand of the Father to mediate and make sure that everything came along according to His Word. Just like an executor of an estate, He not only gave the promises, but He ensured that our inheritance is guaranteed, and He is the one who would make sure that it was handed out. You've heard this before, but I think it's worth saying again. An executor makes sure that those that are receiving the inheritance get what was written in the will. This is a will. God has promised. And Jesus makes sure that we get or receive what He's written into the will that we need to receive an inheritance because He died. But see, He rose again to fulfill every single promise. Everything in the inheritance that we're to receive. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
He is, isn't He?
Yes.
How about the talents? Do you remember the story about the talents?
Yes.
He gave 5 talents here, a few there. And He says, whenever the master comes back, He'll ask each one of you to give an account what you've done with it. Mm-hmm. So what happened? They were doubling. Some of them added to. And one said he took it. And he looked at his master as a hard man. A Scrooge. That reap where he didn't sow. That required things of people that they couldn't produce. So he buried it. And whenever he came back and ask each one to give account, they gave account. And those that had multiplied, He said, well done. And those that had added too, that's great. But the person that had buried the talent said, I'm giving back to you what was yours. I knew you were a hard man. That you reap where you didn't sow. That you expect things from people that they can't produce. So rather than take a chance on it getting missing, I protected it. Now I give it back to you. Didn't He call him wicked? And what did He do with the talent that He had given to that individual? He gave it to the one that had multiplied. Do you know that's where we get free enterprise today? Did you know that? The producers increase. He rewarded the one that increased with more. Because it was a good investment in that person's life. Because he was going to haul off and do something with what God had given him. Now, he's not a taskmaster. What's so neat about this is in the natural, whenever you look at it, it's those who invest in hard work, spend long hours, who work day and night and day and night. And those are the ones that we praise for being good workers. If you look at the scriptures we just read, did it say anything about hard work? Burning the midnight oil, proving to people, being able to go above and beyond. You can count on me. I'll be there all the time. I've been there in my mindset, I know. And I got burnt out. That's called a work of the flesh. That's what the Bible calls it.
Yes.
Works of the flesh. And you will get burnt out.
Yes.
Now the neat part about this is whenever God gives you something, He gives you the grace to go with it. The power and the resources to provide increase for you. He not only does that, but He shows you where to make investments with your time, with your energy, with money, if that's the case. Investments. He shows you to let things work for you by the way that His kingdom operates, not by the way you operate in the world system. Two different systems. And whenever the world system says famine, we got a financial breakdown here. Everybody has to draw back. I haven't seen anywhere in the Word where He talks about we need to take a deficit here. The lights in heaven might dim. We got to draw back. His Word only talks about increase.
Yes, amen.
Increase, increase. Did you know that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us? They're the ones that's under attack. We're not on the defensive. We're the ones that are progressing increase with the kingdom. And the devil's running scared. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, how about in Mark 4 where it talks about the sower goes forth and sows the seed? Do you think that anybody that sows seed does so with the intention of receiving increase or what's called a harvest?
Yes.
There would really be no use if there wasn't going to be a harvest. Agree?
Amen.
So God's kingdom works that way, and He showed us a picture of that in the natural system with plants and animals, of course. But He says that it was planted, and then the disciples, the disciples, that's what I call them. Because a lot of times we forgot to bring bread. That's all they thought about was something to eat all the time, right? Sound familiar? But He says that the parable had to do with planting the seed. Now, the difference in the outcome, the 30, 60, 100-fold, was not in the seed, was it?
No.
The incorruptible seed, which is Jesus, he produced exactly what he was planted to produce. The seeds in the natural world, in nature, they produce exactly what plant that they came from. They reproduce it perfectly. More of it. And later. Seed, time, harvest. So, whenever you look at the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, what is the variable of the seeds producing more fruit? You got variable of time. You got variable of maybe watering, of cultivating, weeding, whatever, like a farmer would. But the main difference is in the type of soil that it was planted in, right? That soil is the environment in which seed must be planted to bring forth the harvest. So Jesus said it has to do with the heart that his seed, his word, is planted into. The difference in the heart is going to make a difference in the harvest.
Yes.
Now here's the thing that I want, and I'm pointing back fingers at me, because I'm being preached to today too. And I need to hear it over and over and over again. And I hope you realize that too. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ.
Amen.
Okay? As we look at the soul of our hearts, are we open? Are we open to receive God's word? Or is it cluttered up with a lot of different things? In the scripture, it says that a double-minded man shall not receive anything. My final word is yes, no. Yes, no. I want to, but I call those goats. They butt all the time. But we're single-minded. We have single vision. We see things the way God sees them. And what does he see in you? He sees increase. Because everything that he's designed in his kingdom is for our betterment. Mm-hmm. We're his children. He loves us unconditionally. Mm-hmm. He has a purpose for our lives. And it is awesome. And we can fulfill that destiny that he's placed in each one of us, because he's given us the grace, the resources, and the power to make those things happen as we rely upon him and not rely upon our flesh to fulfill those promises. And there's nothing that the devil or anybody else can do to prevent it. You can be distracted. If you look away from who you really are in Christ Jesus. This is talking about identity also. Whenever you know who you are, you don't listen to the lies.
That's right. Amen. That's so true.
You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That's part of your identity. Because 1 John 4:17. As he is, as Jesus is, so are you in this world. Do you know that that's not the way Jesus was, the picture of Jesus walking on the earth? That's not right, really, what that verse is talking about. as Jesus is. Jesus is where today?
Seated
at the right hand of the Father. The power seat.
Yes.
The power seat at the right hand of the Father. He wields and rules and reigns as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
He has all power that's been given to Him by the Father.
Amen.
He is the Word of God. He is the one that makes sure that every word that goes forth out of His Father's mouth shall accomplish that which it was sent to accomplish and will not return to Him void.
Amen.
It will accomplish the increase that He desired for it to accomplish.
Amen.
So, let's go to 2 Corinthians 9. Are y'all having a good time today?
Yes.
I've often said, whenever people ask me what happened, I said, I don't know about anybody else, but I had a good time. And I hope y'all are with me on this, because the Lord is so good. And He's been gracious to Sheila and I,
mm-hmm.
and my whole family. 2 Corinthians 9. And let's start with verse 6. Now, I know that this is pertaining to finances, but it also applies to other areas of your life also. Okay? All right?
Amen.
But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God, listen to this. This is really key. This is verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. What does the word abound? What kind of picture? What kind of picture does that present to you? It's not just, well, you'll be taken care of. Super abounding. More than enough. Increase. Harvest. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Amen. Toward you, that you always, there's a promise, always having all sufficiency in all things. I don't remember ever reading a verse that had that many superlatives in it. Do you? Having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance, not just getting by, an abundance for every, not just a few, for every good work. This is God saying right here, you cannot outgive Him. In whatever it is. He cannot be outgiven because He is the giver. He's the giver of all givers. He gave His Son willingly for us. He saw Him tortured for us. Jesus willingly went to the cross. He was willingly receiving all that came against Him. Why? For what it meant to us. What it would do for us. He was looking at us the entire time He was being beaten. The entire time that He was hanging on the cross. The entire time He saw what it would do for us. That's why He stayed there. He could have called down legions of angels. But He didn't. He stayed on that cross for us. He saw what it would do for us. He saw our future. Isn't He awesome? Jesus is so good. in verse 9. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply. There's that word, increase, right? Multiply the seed you have sown and increase, there it is, the fruits of your righteousness. Notice that what we ate was not multiplied. It was only what was sown. It was planted. Notice that it also said that there was increase of the fruits of your righteousness. The righteousness that we have today is a gift. Christ gave us His righteousness that the Father had given to Him. Those fruits that came from the seed, time, and harvest of investing what God has given to us in whatever venue it is whether it be a plant being planted, seed into the ground, or whether we may be investing our lives and the Word of God into the hearts of men and women and children, that the fruit that comes from those seeds that's planted, it said there will be increase in the fruits of our righteousness. Notice in verse 11 it said, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. You notice through scriptures, whenever it talks about people gave glory to God, you'll notice that they didn't praise God when somebody died, but they praised Him whenever somebody was healed.
Amen.
Whenever they had increase, there was glory given to God.
Hallelujah.
Not when things were stolen from them. We give glory to our Heavenly Father when we take whatever has been given to us and it's multiplied, not by our self-effort, but by applying the laws of the kingdom, His kingdom, of planting those things and reaping a harvest for His glory. It points to God being a success in your life, in every area, every single area, in your family, in your marriage, in your finances, in your occupation, in your Christian life. You're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You have fruit that points to Jesus. He gets all the glory.
Amen.
We praise Him.
Yes.
Because it's all because of Him that we live and move and have our being.
Amen. Yes.
It's because of Him.
Yes.
That we can wake up one more day.
Yeah.
It's all good in Him. As we said before, a seed will not grow until it's planted. The seed of the Word of God will not grow until it's planted. Where is the place that we plant the seed of the Word of God? In men and women and children's hearts. That's where it goes. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Proverbs. I know this is old covenant, but it's still good. Because every promise of God is good. Even though the new covenant promises are better, based upon a better covenant, even the old covenant ones, it says, are good and fulfilling. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Don't you think that's odd? We're talking about hearing and His words, and let not them depart from your eyes. Now, if you want to expound on that, there's a teaching that I did called Imaginations of the Heart, and it's on Acts 2-42ministries.org. If you want to listen to that, it'd be good. It doesn't cost you anything either. But that will put into proper perspective what I'm about to say. Whenever you read words, do you see W-O-R-D? Or do you see a picture sometimes of objects or people? There's usually pictures that are associated. If I say apple, how many people saw a red apple? How many saw a yellow, kind of golden apple? Or maybe even a green, a light green apple? Depending on your taste, right? But you saw a picture of some type of apple whenever I said the word apple. That's what he's talking about here. And the next one says, keep them in the midst of your heart. So he's saying here that keep these things that we're reading, his sayings, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all your flesh. Whenever you read the scripture, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. You are healed. That's what it says. Do you see a picture? Particularly if you're dealing with symptoms at that time. Do you have a picture of yourself? You're healed. No pain. Amen. Can you see yourself moving that part of your body that was painful to move before? Can you see yourself doing things that you could not do because of some type of symptom before? That's called a faith picture. Because you're taking the Word of God and you're seeing it in your heart. Your heart is a womb. Your heart is good ground. Even if you plant weed seeds, they will even produce more weeds. What I mean by weed seeds? Oh, the doctor says I got blank. My daddy had blank. My granddad had blank. Therefore, the doctor says, I have blank. Woe is me. That's a weed seed. That's exactly right. We don't have to accept it. I mean, I'm not down on doctors. They're doing what they were trained to do, and they operate in the natural. And I'm thankful for doctors, because many of us would have died before our time if they hadn't helped us out. So I'm thankful for them. But I'm saying that they don't know normally, most of them, about spiritual things. And so they're doing what technology tells them and going by statistics.
That's right.
But you see, you beat all the statistics in Christ Jesus. Statistics don't know how to read. Amen?
Amen.
So, the generational curses that some people have taught, in my opinion, did not factor in that Jesus became a curse for us.
That's right.
And the curses died in Christ Jesus. They're not ours. Because in Christ Jesus, we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Yes.
Amen. Let's go there.
Amen.
Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Second Peter chapter 1. Isn't it funny how pages in a new Bible turn slow? Let's start in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. There's a multiplied. There's an increase. Who'd have thunk it? Grace. God's unconditional love and grace is talking about His ability being given to us to produce the things that we could never produce. His power is released in every promise that He's ever given to produce the things that it says that we have.
Amen.
In us, in Christ Jesus. It's already been given. It's full of power waiting to be released. It's a seed. Hear me. It's a seed that's waiting to be planted in the proper environment so that it can produce.
Yes.
Amen.
Like kind.
Yes.
Multiple times, over and over and over. And in that producing, there are seeds for more harvest.
Yes.
It's like whenever you look at an apple. Some people say, well, I wonder how many seeds are in that apple. Other people say, I wonder how many apples are in that apple. And other people say, how many trees that have apples, that have seeds, are in that apple. It depends on how you look at it. Because all of those statements are true. And they all say increase because God has built that into them. We're exactly the same way with God's seeds of faith. Of faith seeds that He's given to us. His promises. They are full of seeds that are waiting to be planted so that they can produce in our lives an increase.
Amen.
As you look at what the Scripture says about seed time and harvest, you'll understand more and more every day that the Christian life is about planting the Word of God in your heart. of becoming and overcoming.
Yes.
Of growing in your Christian life. Mm-hmm. And of taking these promises that God has given to us in His Word. They are faith seeds, is what they are.
Yes.
Just as the seed packets that we buy from the store to plant in our garden, they have a picture on that packet of what it looks like when that seed has come forth and produced a plant. A living plant that produces more seeds, that produces a harvest of seed for the sower and bread for food, meaning that the fruit that comes forth, we can consume it. So it does both. But that picture is very important that is on that packet of seeds. Did you know that the gospel comes to us, the Word of God, in a packet? This may sound weird. Follow me. That packet, that picture that's on it, that Word comes to us with a picture of Jesus. This Word, this Bible, it has all the seeds in it that produce Jesus in our lives. And it shows us a picture in every promise. This is a picture of Jesus. Every promise is a picture of Jesus. It's a seed also to produce more of Jesus in us. I hope you got what I just said.
Amen.
As He is, so are we in this world. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As we keep our eyes attuned to the Word of God, it says that the heart will produce in like kind. I will get finished with this. There's a few questions that I want you to ask yourself. And like I said, I have three fingers pointing back to me every time I point. So I'm talking to me too. And I have to ask myself these questions on a regular basis, really, to mark where we are in life. What would you like more in life if you had the ability to increase something in your life? What does Jesus want more of? In context of your Christian life, He wants all of us. Meaning not just all of mankind, but He wants all of us as an individual, spirit, soul, and body, sold out to Him. Jesus is looking for increase from a person who is a convert, who comes in and receives Him as Savior. But He wants that person to increase and to become a disciple.
Amen.
And that disciple is going to learn how to see themselves as God sees them and how to operate in that spiritual kingdom the way that Jesus operates. And using those spiritual laws to affect this natural life in a positive, powerful way. When you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover.
Amen.
You shall lack no good thing. Because he that's in you is greater than he's in the world. You are the ones that he desires to be just as he is. So are we in this world. To live and breathe and to move and to minister. You don't have to be in full-time ministry to lay hands on somebody and speak God's word over them in faith and release the life of Jesus into them to drive out whatever it is that they're dealing with in their health. You don't have to be in full-time ministry to speak a word of encouragement to somebody that the Spirit gives you. Do you know what that's called? A fruit of the Spirit being released. Did you know that fruit has a seed in it? It's all through the Bible. So increase is yours. As you increase in your heart with who you are in Christ Jesus, it will overflow into everything in life that you're about. Every area of your life is going to be affected. But here's the key. Are you willing to plant? Are you going to plant the word in your heart? Are there some promises for an area in your life where there's an apparent lack that maybe you haven't discovered yet? Only the promises that you plant will you receive increase, a crop, a harvest. Look in God's Word to see what it has to say about your situation where there's an appearance of lack. Because God said, there's no lack in Christ Jesus. He has provided for all things that pertain to life and godliness in Him. They're already ours. They're in the spirit realm. They're waiting for you to plant them and receive the harvest. You plant it in your heart. How? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You meditate on it. You see that picture of what that promise looks like whenever it comes to pass. A healthy body, a healthy, growing marriage, healthy children who love God and have given themselves over to Jesus, and they're on their road to becoming Christ-like in everything that they do. How about your work life? Are you a person that's been given an opportunity to lead men and women? That you have a voice? That you can speak into people's lives and see the way that you handle yourself, that they see Jesus in you? And away from work or on a break or whatever, you can talk to them about leadership and how God has led you through different things. And that they're the same. There's no difference between you. Just because you happen to be in a management situation doesn't matter what state of life they're in. They can achieve also because He's put seeds of greatness in them. And you as the visionary can bring that out. You can be an encourager to them. You can see things in them through the Spirit that they can't see in themselves. And you can call those things out. You can call them forth. You can pray over them and release things in them that they didn't know they had. As Christians, it's all inside of us when we plant it in our heart, but then it comes forth. It will come out of our mouth because it says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Whenever you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the promises of God over your life, There's two different ways that happens. One is meditation. That's whenever you're soaking, rehearsing it, going over and over, and keeping that picture of the final product in front of you. That spiritual picture of what it looks like whenever it comes forth. Then there's the time whenever you speak it forth to actually produce something, to release power. Then it shall come forth. Because God's given us that authority to release His power on this earth realm. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Amen?
Amen.
So, you are powerful people. Every one of you that has named the name of Jesus is more than a conquering Christ Jesus. Do you see yourself that way? Can you see yourself becoming and overcoming and not a victim anymore? You've already won in Christ. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's a promise. He is for you and never against you. All the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of the Father. You have a green light to go with every promise. They've all been provided just for you. As a child of God, He has prepared everything just for you to walk in them and receive the benefit, the harvest, that planting those seeds in your heart yields. So, Father, we just thank You for this time. Thank You, Father, that for such a time as this, You have prepared us. Lord, I praise You and thank You for being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, of including us in Your family, of drawing us unto Yourself. Your love has done all that for us. Thank You, Father. You're a good, good Father.
Yes, You are. Thank You, Father.
Thank You, Lord, that You are the one that sees us overcoming every situation because You have already provided for it. Thank You, Father. May each one of our hearts be open to receive the seed of the Word of God, the living God. We'll plant it diligently. We'll find out the promises that You have given to us. And we'll meditate on those day and night. We will see the pictures that You've given to us of the fulfillment of those promises. And they shall come to pass. Seed, time, and harvest. Thank You, Father. And we will not be discouraged when they don't happen immediately. But with patience, we will receive the promise. Thank You, Father. Lord, I thank You for each of these that have heard Your word, that they will go forth and be seeds in other people's lives. They release Your word. They would plant Your seeds in others' lives. That just as Your Son Jesus is, so are they in this world. They be conformed to His image and rule and reign in this life just as Jesus. So, Father, we thank You right now for giving us this word. It is blessed and will produce after its kind. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said,